Welcome to Your Highness Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Crash.
And I'm your co-host, J.R. Crash.
How are you doing today, J.R.?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I am. I'm doing same. Samesies.
Doing samesies.
Samesies. Thanks to you. Oh, we have our other co-star joining us.
Just coming in to get some cheese.
All right. All right, so we're going to start this episode, as we do every episode, with our recurring segment, Fave Pot.
Fave Not Pot.
And I'm going to start, because I always do. So my fave pot is actually, you'll like this, JR, it's a terpene.
Oh, I like my terpenes.
And I like limonene.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Tell us why.
Oh, yeah. I'm explaining your fave pot. Well, limonene's great with digestion. It's also great. It's normally found in indica dominant strains, and it's really great for counteracting a heavy myrcene, which can create a little bit of a couch lock. The limonene kind of gives you a little bit like of a upbeat kind of feel to kind of keep you from getting that couch lock, as long as, yet again, really helping with digestive issues.
And you know what's funny? Well, I guess it's not really funny because a lot of people out there are like, it doesn't matter if it's indica or sativa, or there is definitely that conversation is happening in a lot of places. And so I can attest to that, because even though it's supposed to be indica is supposed to make you a little sleepier, a little more
traditionally sleep, what people think. Yeah,
it doesn't really for me.
Well, in all honesty, sativas and indicas really, it's a classification of where the plant is from and what the plant looks like, whether or not it's like tall with like lanky leaves, or if it's short and stout with like a thicker leaf. It really doesn't have anything to do with the sensation, like, you know, but on a traditional level, it is more thought that indicas are more of a body sensation, where the sativas are more of like a cerebral sensation.
All right. Nice little fact.
Yeah,
little fun fact. Nice little education moment.
Yeah.
All right. So what's your fave pot?
My favorite pot is, it's an edible, and it's from the company Incredibles. It's 50 Shades of Grape, which is quite the cheeky name. It's actually a one-to-one of THC with CBC. It's a great mood uplifter. So really great for, especially coming out of February, where seasonal depression can be very strong during the early months of the year. It really kind of helped pull me out of that jams. So, you know, I probably won't need it as much now because it's starting to get lighter for longer and stuff like that. But it's still, it's an amazing product if you're ever feeling a little down in the dumps.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I will not be trying them because I don't like grape flavor, so...
Yeah.
So my fave not pot is a book that I'm reading, and it's called How to Do the Work, Recognize Your Patterns, Heal from Your Past, and Create Yourself by Dr. Nicole LaPira, who is, she labels herself the holistic psychologist. And if you look her up online, you will not be disappointed. Her social media is amazing. Just going to read a quick little synopsis about this book. It says, from Dr. Nicole LaPira, creator of The Holistic Psychologist, the online phenomenon with more than 2 million Instagram followers, comes a revolutionary approach to healing that harnesses the power of the self to produce lasting change. And it says that she found herself frustrated by the limitations of traditional psychotherapy. Wanting more for her patients and herself, she began a journey to develop a united philosophy of mental, physical, and spiritual wellness that equips people with the interdisciplinary tools necessary to heal themselves. So anyway, I'm really into it. It's helping me a lot, and I probably will reread it quite a few times. Everything that she posts pretty much resonates with me hardcore. So I said, all right, I'm going to get this book.
There you go.
I'm happy that I did. So anyway.
Good. I'm happy you are happy.
Aw, thank you.
My fave not pot, it's a television, I guess, miniseries. I don't think they're going to carry it for longer than it was already aired for one season. Maybe they will. I don't know.
Like a limited series.
Yeah. It's called The Curse. I'm sure some of you have heard of it, especially if you're ever on Twitter or whatnot. It has Nathan Felder or Fielder. I don't know how to pronounce that name. And then also Emma Stone, two people that I really, really enjoy watching. And it's just... I mean, it's a program. Like, you watch it.
What?
You watch it, and it's... Like, I love it, but I love really weird stuff, you know? But you watch it, and it starts off just being, like, very awkward, kind of cringy, kind of uncomfortable to watch, but very much based in reality. And then there'll be periodic moments while you're watching it where it takes, like, a little bit of a left turn, and you're like, wait a minute, what am I watching? And then it course corrects again and be like, no, we're still very grounded in reality. That was just a blip of weirdness. And then it ends... in a way where you're just like, what the hell was that?
Mm-hmm.
It like, but it sticks with you. I've been thinking about the ending, the last episode, probably at least once a day since I watched it.
Mm.
Not that it made any more sense.
No.
But it sticks with you, and you can't help but think about it a lot. So if you like weird stuff like I do, I recommend The Curse. If you don't like weird stuff, if you like things just being very like black and white, you know, not art housey at all, I very much would not recommend it. You'll be very angry at the end of it. But if you like weird stuff, go all in. Go all in on The Curse.
Art housey? I don't know. I think this was kind of art housey.
That's why I say.
Art housey. Is that a word?
If you don't like art housey, I'm saying stay away from it.
We're just making up adjectives.
Yeah. We're podcasters. We're allowed to do that. We're allowed to add to the lexicon.
Okay. True. All right. So switching gears a little bit and... literally switching gears because we're going to be talking about delivery. I think a big assumption a lot of people have is that when a state becomes adult use or even medical, that they would have delivery. And that is certainly not the case. I mean, I've heard stories of people driving hours to get their medicine. but anyway, in Maryland, this isn't a perfect example.
Yeah. In Maryland right now, there is delivery. We've actually had delivery in Maryland since medical, we were medical only. Just very few companies actually selected to do that because there was a lot involved as far as insurance and different kind of workings that they had to overcome. Not to mention that because of our proximity to Washington, D.C. and stuff like that, and you're not allowed to go over state lines while delivering, because it would then be considered interstate trafficking, that a lot of companies, especially that were near that D.C. metro area, opted not to go that route. Now, with adult use, we're seeing the opening up of a lot more delivery from companies, but come July, that's actually going to get cut down by a lot. It will still be available, but in order for companies to be able to offer delivery, it would actually have to come out of a micro license, which would be licensed like a dispensary, and they'd be brick and mortar, and they would house inventory, but they wouldn't be able to sell directly out of it like a customer would be able to come in and purchase. It would only be a hub that they could deliver out of. And with that, we're going to start seeing the kind of the pullback of a lot of those delivery services unless they change the regulations.
And that really sucks.
It does. I mean, there's two different viewpoints on it. You know, there's the obvious accessibility issue. You know, right now delivery is only available to medical patients anyway. So there's a lot of medical patients that are unable to leave their homes in order to be able to get their medication.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side of that, you also have to look at safety issues. You know, a lot of these drivers are by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not with a group of people that can watch out for them. They're leaving their car unattended while they're delivering the package. You know, we are still, because it's federally scheduled one, it's hard to get a lot of merchant accounts. So a lot of these transactions are done solely with cash. And, you know, while there are some safety precautions created, like you're not allowed to actually drive in a car that would give off any kind of noticeability for it holding cannabis, it needs to be like a very basic, bland car.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, there's always that mild risk involved of people being shadowed while they're out on their deliveries. So this is, it's a situation where we do need to be able to have delivery accessible towards those medical patients, but we do need to kind of come together collectively to create a program in which would guarantee more of a safety for the drivers themselves.
Safety and decent wages, because one thing that has come to my attention is that the workers at Ease, which is a leading cannabis delivery company, they're taking a stand as negotiations with UFCW Locals 5, 135, 324, and 770 for a statewide master agreement slowdown. All right. So anyway, basically, they delivered the request to all 23 members of the board of directors, and the drivers have three demands: increase the mileage rate back to the IRS standard of 67 cents per mile, ensure wage progressions above the minimum wage, and demand the presence of a decision maker at the bargaining table. So back in season 8, it was actually our first episode of season 8, but I'm not sure with how the numbers are showing up on Apple. So you'll just have to look it up by the title. It was called Ableism in the Cannabis Industry. And in it, Jamie London Wahlberg talked about not receiving his medicine because of where he was, where he's located, or at the time where his house was, and the delivery driver saying that he couldn't access it because of COVID restrictions. I mean, there were more details to it. But anyway, I mean, the general thrust of that episode was that he wasn't receiving his medication that he desperately needed because of safety restrictions and other, you know, red tape that is the issue that a lot of us don't even think about when it comes to delivery. We just assume it's just something that naturally would follow, you know.
Exactly. And then you look at what they're dealing with now with Ease, with, you know, the cut in their wages and their reimbursements. And this is something that we're seeing across the board where, yeah, companies have to pay more taxes and they use that as an excuse to cut labor percentages, to cut headcounts, to cut labor, to cut wages. And it's getting to a point now where it's kind of getting a little ridiculous. Like, they are making money at this point. These cannabis companies aren't breaking even or losing money. You know, they are making plenty of money. And right now they're just kind of hiding behind this whole, we have to pay a lot of taxes, you know, due to the Fair Banking Act. And it's just, it's getting out of hand. It's a give a mouse a cookie situation where they saw that we were able to do things with less for so long that now they're seeing how much less people can actually go on. And people need to say no. Mm-hmm. You know, they need to put their foot down. We need to see a lot more collective bargaining. Mm-hmm. in this industry. And, you know, if it's starting with delivery, it's starting with delivery. I know there's been some grows in other states. I know New Jersey, Chicago, some states out there have unionized, gotten into collective bargaining. And we need to start seeing that grow because people are being taken advantage of. And they need to have safety guarantees while they're out delivering the products that they will be safe, that they will be taken care of. You know, this industry is old enough now to stop playing these games of overdoing things for the first time and we're still just building our wings. Like, enough's enough. We've been at this long enough. These companies need to get their S together.
Are their S together? Can you tell we have a tiny human? yes, definitely. Get your shit together, people. So that's about it on that right now. But do reach out to us if you have a situation that's similar to what we just talked about with Ease. And we would love to have you on the show. Next up is our media member segment, our media member moment highlight. We're not really sure exactly what we're calling it, but that's what we're calling it right now because we're not great with titles. Anyway, next you'll hear from Miss Kadabra, who is the host of the Smoke to Smoke podcast. And it's quite a lovely interview, so I'm excited for you all that you get to hear it. Until next time, bye.
Bye.
Ever feel like life's stress gets to be too much? Welcome to Mitra Gaia, your natural wellness partner. We are the number one rated provider of Kratom, a 100% natural plant-based solution used in Asia for centuries to help increase focus, energy, and relaxation. Want to know more? Use the code YHPOD to get 10% off your first order today. That's mitragaya.com and code YHPOD for 10% off. And now for our media member moment with Miss Kadabra. I am speaking today with Miss Kadabra from Smoke to Smoke podcast. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Good. Even better now that I've met you officially. So
yes.
I've been following you for a while and I'm a big fan of what you're doing. And so can you tell us about the Smoke to Smoke podcast? What is it?
Yes, of course. So, Smoke to Smoke podcast, which is now further extended off into the Shroom to Shroom podcast, is an educational alternative substance platform that tries to have open-ended conversations on different topics within cannabis, whether it be education or parenting or different laws, whether it be state tax legislation regarding like THC limits or even hemp laws in certain states like Tennessee, where they're trying to switch from 0.3% Delta 9 THC to just total T, which would basically eradicate CBD and all those other things too. I try to have all these conversations, not only nationally, but also have international guests as well, just because there's so many different things going on in cannabis. It's hard to really keep track. And I mean, for myself too, I'm not saying that I've got all the news all the time, but it helps you try to have these conversations and think more about like where to go for research and then take them in your own public spaces and try to open the minds of people that you know and make them more comfortable with the plant or even exploring things themselves.
Wow, I love that. I mean, that is a really beautiful way to put that. I'm like, wow, that sounds good. Maybe I'll start a cannabis podcast. So what inspired you to create this podcast?
Well, after I got my med card in Arkansas, I was just completely dumbfounded by my first time going into a dispensary because, like, I went from not really having much knowledge on cannabis at all besides, like, some strain names, like, Alaskan, I don't know if I can say the full, ATF.
Yeah,
because I don't know if I can swear on your show.
You can.
Okay, Alaskan Thunderfuck is like different shows. I don't want to be on there being rude and stuff, you know. But Pineapple Express, I knew like the mainstays, but I didn't know things like terpenes and how they could help me with like my scoliosis or my PTSD and how it could help me just get back to feeling normal and comfortable. And that was the type of knowledge that I'm like, well, I gotta tell everybody about this. So I started telling my husband about it. He doesn't smoke. He's never really had the most positive interactions with cannabis. It just gets him in a weird headspace. And like he tried learning about it at first, but ultimately he was just like kind of bored. Mm-hmm. So I could see it in his face. He wasn't saying anything. He was being supportive and stuff. But I'm like, well, I got to get this to people who may be a little bit more interested in what I have to say. So I started out with the buddy at first and ultimately with our time constraints, kind of went our separate ways, but I still wanted to go about spreading knowledge and was having a hard time doing it in a solo manner since I've never really had the easiest time. Just, I need to feed off of some type of energy.
Yeah, same.
So, yeah,
I can't do the solo thing. I've tried. It doesn't work.
I've tried and I can do like product reviews, which I do on the show. I can do those like that. But like otherwise, like it's hard.
I know. I'm like looking around like, does anyone want to argue or
anybody, anywhere? So that's when the show shifted more into interviews and where I've been able to talk to a lot of people around the community and hear their stories and further expand my knowledge. And now that's when we're moving into season two. And now I'm just kind of reflecting on everything that I've gotten to learn and trying to learn even more, and just having now roundtable discussions on the show. And just, hey, like the past few years in cannabis have been kind of wacky. Let's talk about it.
I know, right? Yeah. And to that point, what have been some of your biggest challenges throughout this time?
I've been shadow banned on Instagram almost 3 years, I want to say. Like, basically, my first month out the gate, I was coming in hot. I used to do these Anatomy of a Strain posts where I posted highly detailed picture of a nug, break down the terpenes, talk about the general effects of it, and then the description under it would just explain in depth more about the effects that I had with the strain when I picked it up from the dispensary. I was going to have to shift myself to a different platform. So I tried at different times. Every time they change their rules, I find that I'm not within guidelines, but I'm always getting in trouble for older posts. So at this point, I'm just kind of saying screw it. And it's taken a lot of fun out of the content creation on Instagram.
Right?
But I'm,
I mean, yeah, that is such like, a, people don't realize it is such an uphill battle for us cannabis content creators and really any type of plant medicine. But like you said, I also get in trouble for past posts and I'm like, I deleted it. What? You know? But even if someone reposts something that you posted and you deleted it, you're going, like, I've been banned for that, or whatever you want to call it, you know, blocked for that, like, because someone else posted something that I don't even know, honestly. It's such, like, an everyday is such an, it's like a new thing that we find out that we can't post, or a new platform that's shown itself to be unfriendly to plant medicine. It's just, like, always trying to pivot, right? Like, you're constantly pivoting.
Yeah. So like I've kind of taken a step back from being online way like at nearly as much as I used to be. And I feel bad for the listeners and followers. They're kind of just like, what happened? But I mean, they're seeing it happen to all their other favorite content creators around them. It's not just me. Like there's several people that are now on their 10th iteration of their account. And it's just, it's tiring. It's stressful trying to like, I make one post and then I'm just sitting there like kind of glancing at my phone for the next hour wondering like, am I going to get flagged? Am I not going to be able to go live for the next month? Am I not going to be able to post fundraisers? Am I not going to be able to have an account? Like, is it going to take it down? Because I recently got an account back that just out of nowhere after 2 years of posting on there said that they didn't like my content. And it was a post that was several months old at that point that had no problems until like, I guess the past 24 hours at that point. But it's just, I don't know, it's tiring. It's like, I'm looking at my Instagram right now and I've got 878 posts on there. But in total, with like the entirety of my content on like LinkedIn and Social Club and all those things, it's up in the 3000s because that's where I'm able to actually post a lot of my like product photography and macro shots. And a lot of my listeners aren't able to actually see the work that is being put out there and actually get to enjoy the reviews and learn about these products because of these blockades.
Yeah, it's really tough. It is really tough. Well, let's go into a positive area for a minute. It's just so tough, but there are, I mean, there's reasons why we do this, right? And so, to that point, what are some of your favorite moments of your show? Like, what have been some of the your favorite parts of doing this?
Well, I mean, that being said, the content creation is a hassle, but, and that's just the social media part of it. The actual creation of the show is my favorite part. I love getting to meet people, having these fantastic conversations, and getting to just like all these dynamic personalities and making friends that I just wouldn't have had like these connections prior to having this show. It just means so much to me that I'm able to learn about somebody's experience and then develop a friendship beyond just our like hour or even 30 minute chat. And like Yeah, I've gotten to meet just some fantastic folks, from the folks over at iSpire and Tikal, to some smaller, just homegrown folks down in like Tampa, up in Canada, people who have their own podcast and getting to build and grow and collaborate more. It's been a long time since I've gotten to do it, but one of my like ultimate favorite segments I've had on the show have been when I used to do the game shows and have about three or four people doing like different cannabis related like trivia games, or it would be like a never have I ever smoking contest, things like that. And I don't know, I'm getting a little stressed out by the social media doesn't mean I'm going to quit, because like this stuff is what keeps me in it for the long run.
Yes, I love that. Those are really fun things, and we'll find another way. We'll find someplace else to put it one of these days.
One of these days.
That doesn't shut down in 2 months.
I mean, so far I've been checking out Buddy Jane. They're pretty new, but I don't have any complaints. It reminds me of just like very old school Instagram, where you were just like posting just to post. It wasn't necessarily to promote anything. Everything was monetized. But yeah, it's like fun.
Yeah. All right. I'll check that one out again. It's just like, I'm always trying new things. Like, I can't even think of it. The one Discord. I tried Discord. I can't figure it out. People say Discord's the place to go, you know, for the cannabis content, but and Reddit. I mean, I understand Reddit, but I don't understand how to use it for what I'm doing yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know. One of these days we'll figure. It's not to say I'm not on there, because I am.
Yeah.
Still trying. But anyway. So what do you wish people understood more about cannabis media? I mean, I think we just touched on a pretty important part of it, but what else?
I wish that people understood that it wasn't just smoking weed in front of a camera and talking about it. There's a lot that goes into it. And a lot of that is not really, like, it's not only our personal relationship with the plant, but the plant's relationship with just that community and how we interact with each other when talking about it. And the, like, outside of, like, how our experiences go into the way we make our own content, just what levels it takes for us to do certain things. Some of us are making our own merch from home and sending it out to people. I'm not doing anything like that, but that's crazy on top of everything else. People are making their own websites. People are like, I've seen, like, I think
doing
what's
events.
Your name? Koala. Yeah, doing events.
Yeah.
Koala Puffs is like collaborating with brands to make her own products and stuff. Like my sponsor, Caligar, she's actually got a peach blunt glue, and I'm like people are doing all types of different things. And I mean, just like smoking in front of the camera is just the very first part of it.
Or not part of it at all sometimes. I mean, we don't do that here, mainly for editing purposes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, trying to explain it to someone who doesn't smoke or doesn't consume cannabis or has no interest in cannabis is difficult, right? Because you're like, well, I mean, it's not really about the plant. It is about the plant, but it isn't. But you know, there's more to it. And it makes that elevator pitch a little difficult sometimes when you're trying to get people who aren't in the cannabis space to get. I mean, is that kind of your goal with your show as well? Like, do you want people who aren't really in the industry to kind of like come in and listen and find out about it?
The show is for everybody, no matter like what your experience of a with the plant is. It's for people who have been smoking for a long time, but may have never heard about cannabinoids, or people who have never smoked at all and have never been into a dispensary, or don't even know what it really like, how it interacts with some people, what the difference between like indica, sativa, and really just breaking it down to just it's the plant structure instead of the effects. I try to highlight so many different levels of cannabis knowledge to where it's not just a show for people who have been in it for a while, because I haven't.
Yeah.
So,
that's really cool. I like that. All right. Well, where can people find you and how can they support you?
All right. Well, I am on Instagram. I'm on Social Club, Buddy Jane, LinkedIn, and smoketosmokepodcast.com, even though that is definitely under construction since I have a lot of content I've got to put on there. I've got to figure out how I'm going to upload videos and stuff since I've got a lot of stuff I want to try to reconstruct on there. But for Instagram, it's going to be smoketosmoke_podcast and smoketosmoke_productions. LinkedIn, it is Miss Kadabra. Social Club, it's smoketosmoke_podcast as well. And that's basically everywhere to find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Yes, of course. Sorry I got a little tongue-tied, but I had a whole bunch of fun today.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay high and beautiful. This episode was produced by Your Highness Media. Audio editing by J.R. Crash. Intro music by Your Mom Likes My Music. Subscribe to our Substack, Your Highness Newsletter, for the latest announcements and event updates.